Welcome to Creating Cash Flow, February 2nd, 2025. Sean, are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm so ready. Let's work some magic.
Cool. So, everybody, let me introduce you to Sean. He is an actor, he is a writer, he is an artist who has sold his art, and he has other means of bringing in income as well. But these are his artistic pursuits. Fabulous. He has a wonderful husband. He, looks great. Looks like he's in great health. I looked over your Instagram and your website and everything.
Oh,
It
good,
was,
good,
so it's
good.
like you're living a beautiful life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really great to see.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, basically, you wrote, okay, you made an art show happen. We had a session last summer and you're like, did an art show, made $3,000. Amazing. You've had paid acting work in the interim. And your book is about a month out from querying agents. Congratulations on that. That's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, a lot of work. Fantastic. And you even investigated like sober companionship as a side gig, thing. And then you also do catering and events for private clients. So you're at the point where you have some runway to get through the next couple of months, but you would prefer not to deplete that because you have some trips and theater production that you would like to do later in the year. And possible tax return, possible re-airing of your episodes that you worked on, but otherwise you're like, okay, cash flow, cash flow, cash flow, cash flow.
Yes.
So what is right with your life right now? If someone asks you that question, what are like just the things that just pop into your head?
Immediately, what is right are my two little Bostons sitting next to me. My beautiful husband is right. The book and the progress and where it's headed and the feedback and the whole process is right because there's just an ease to it. Acting is right. Once I get out of my way with the thoughts of like, I always need more auditions, but that's literally all of us. So acting is right. My art feels right. My website does not because it's not giving me what I wanted it to give me. Living in Los Angeles, despite what we've just been through here, feels right for me. My husband would say New York, but whatever, we're working through that. Who I am right now in this body feels right. Yeah.
Yeah. So then what feels wrong?
Every time I do a catering shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the messed up part about that is, because I've been doing that for 15 years and I'm booked for this month, February, thankfully, but not enough, but I still do it. And once I'm there doing it, I'm okay. It just, and events are the same thing. We've talked about this before. They net me a great income. Getting to it, it doesn't feel right. And then I'm there and I'm doing it and I'm like, okay, it feels right because I'm here, but it just, yeah. Just to remind you, last time you encouraged time blocking, taking an inventory of how much time I was spending towards earning actions, and that was very valuable and helpful. So just to remind you that that worked.
Okay, good. Good, good.
Yeah.
So I wanted you to say that because what I'm going to say, I think applies to a lot of people listening,
Okay.
not just you. And it's important to always remind ourselves of all the things that are going right, the things that we have. And it's not just about like make a gratitude list. It's really just this deep appreciation for the life you're living. And there's, I think we're in a period of recontextualization where we kind of have to, we have these dials in our life, and three main categories are the expectations we have for what life should be like, or what our trajectory should be like, or where we should be by now, all those things, our expectations. And then our experiences, what we're actually able to be experiencing. The fact that you're experiencing life as an actor, as a writer, and as an artist. I mean, my God. And our employment. Because what we want the employment is to be, we want our currency to come from our art. Of course
Of
we
course.
do.
Why we're all here.
Yeah. So these dials never stay static. We're always adjusting, adjusting, and we have certainly entered this new era where our dials likely have to be adjusted. And it's not about how much time or effort you're giving to it. It's really a mental recontextualization of what these categories mean in your life to you. And the employment is something that's there. And often we look at it as like, you know, oh, I can't wait till it's not there. But what if it's always there? What if it's always going to be there? Like
The events you mean, or just how, like anything
just
other than.
having a, having to have a source of income
Oh, right.
that is something that is like, okay, not toxic, not soul sucking, but just, I'd rather not be spending all these hours doing this.
That feeling, not the thing itself, but the feeling of I'd rather not be doing this thing. I feel like there's big name actors who have millions who feel that way about having to go do that thing over there. So, I mean, I think that's a very true statement.
Yeah. So this is really about having a different relationship with this source of income and making sure that it's not taking mental energy any more than it needs to have.
Yeah. yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say yes. You are not the first to say that to me. You are not the first to help me with the mindset around that. And my I feel like I've come to terms with, the service industry at large, and just I can accept it. I don't have to like it, but I can accept it. And so the amount of mental energy that I would expel being there, wanting to be invisible, not wanting to work, just feeling like a piece of shit for doing it, I'm a failure, all of that, and then coming out the other end of the shift like exhausted for 2 days and wondering why, that's behind me.
Okay, good.
That for sure is, I know I'm a person who's willing to earn, which is why I said, like, yeah, I have it on the books in February, and I'm the leader, I'm the one who runs it, so it's like I have freedom. I have done other jobs while I've been doing production jobs. Like, I've been getting paid crazy money to sit there and like work on my website, So it's very fortunate where I am. I'm also going to always follow it with like, with it. W I'm also always going to follow that with like, but yeah, I don't want to do it. But I'm a hard worker. People hire me. And I think those credits do transfer to other industries and other. It's like I would do more catering if it showed up, but it's just one, tis the season, two, tis this very unique time period that we are currently in with everything that's happened around here. So this was to be expected, having done this industry for 15 years now. Like, yeah, you know January sucks, you know February sucks. And I guess the fear totally is if I invest more in the events, I will get more events, but then I will have no other time for what I really want to do. I don't, I really want passive income, to be honest. You can cut me off. I'm just going to be rambling, so cut me off, please.
I'm getting a feel for
Okay.
you and how your mind works and what you've come to terms with and already worked on, so we don't have to cover that
Yeah.
territory. Very
Yeah.
informative for me to know. Yeah, I mean, passive income, which I don't actually think exists. I think exponential income exists, where you do
Ooh,
this
this is
amount of
new.
work and you get this amount of income for the amount of work you do.
That's a good way. That's good. That's
It's more realistic than
yeah.
just like, I'm printing money and in my sleep. I mean, that's a marketing lie, really. But exponential income is great. You make one piece of art, you sell prints of it. Eventually, someone does the fulfillment. You worked once, you're getting exponential income for the amount of work. That's what we want to create in our
Right,
life.
right.
And you are doing, it's not like you're, I understand, Sean, that you're not like sitting on the couch going, I want exponential income, and you're not doing anything in your life that could potentially get you there. You're doing multiple things in your life that could potentially get you there. They are all long-term until they're not,
I
because
know.
that's the magic of the industry, is anything can happen at any time.
Yeah.
So what is most important is that you are continuing to have a dialogue with yourself, so that when your brain runs over into like, oh my God, I don't want this. It's like, this is a part of this whole thing, though, that is working really well and that you absolutely want.
Yeah.
You can include it as part of the whole rather than this thing over here that we can't wait to get rid of.
Right.
That just will use less energy,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so let me just ask you just tangentially, like, what still needs to be done with your art website? Like, what looks great to me?
No. The website's great. It's actually building that sales funnel, that operation of, me getting. One part of this is I just didn't feel comfortable starting to post reels given what's happened this year being in Los Angeles. I know there's the rest of the world will get my reels, my social media game, but it still felt wrong.
Yeah,
So
no.
that engine's ramping up again. It's learning how to do these reels, and the website is great. Thank you for looking at it. It's building that sales funnel. It's building the email. It's building an online business. That part that just can seem so overwhelming, so I just take it a piece at a time, and a piece at a time. I have a website, and I'm attempting newsletters, and so I mean, it's a as you know, it's a lot, and so I just take it a step at a time. It just seems harder when I feel overwhelmed with I need, actually, to be honest, it's I need this to save me energy. It's which is not which is what I used to walk into acting auditions with, that I need this to book because I need this to save me, because what does that leave me with? Feeling like a failure because I'm catering, so which I don't feel that because with the catering thing, but I'm just realizing that I need the website to save
Yeah, and you absolutely don't.
I
You've
know.
already, Sean, you've already saved yourself.
Amen to that.
You are here in Los Angeles, a place where a lot of people, even now, would still like to be. You're keeping yourself, above water.
More than I'm helping
Yeah.
support some of my husband's stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, you're actually thriving. You're multi-talented. You've figured out ways to actually make money from your art, which so many people wish they could even be in a position to do. You've had a lot of luck just, being who you are and what you look like. But you've made the most of these blessings. You're succeeding. You just have a different, you're defining success in a different way for yourself. And I actually think part of the definition of being an adult, like in a mature adult, is you start defining words for yourself, what success is. My definition of success, especially in the realm of art, is a successful artist is someone who has oriented all aspects of their life so that they can pursue the thing they want to pursue. How you're able to pursue it is a lot of luck. What results come from the pursuit? A lot of luck, a lot of variables that you have no control over. But what you have influence over is how do you set up all the different parts of your life so that it doesn't obstruct the pursuit of what you really want to do here on earth? That to me is success because that's not easy to do. But you have a relationship that does not obstruct, that contributes to. It sounds to me like you have, your wedding videos, you have a group of great friends who are very supportive. You are creating a website and these funnels so that your art can get out in the world. You're going to pitch your books so that can get out in the, like almost every aspect, including the fact that you have a flexible job that you can do more of or less of. So you could, it's flexible in many different ways that you have a reputation and you're, treated with a modicum of respect in the position that you're in now. You've set up every single aspect of your life so that you could be the multifaceted artist you want to be in the city where you can actually work. Like, what? That's fucking successful.
I mean, when you put it that way.
And what if you woke up every day, regardless of the nuttiness that's going on? I mean, not even nutty, the savagery that's going on right now. What if you woke up every day and, like, I have become a very successful artist. And now all that's really left is tweaking and honing and expanding. And that's what you'll do every day. This year, when you're not crying, you will do wonderful things to expand your wonderful life and continue your success, not hope to keep hoping to achieve it. You're already fucking successful. And the more you start to own that is when you go up to an even higher level in your career, just like and you physically now understood that once you let go of the desperation of the like acting needing to save you and you went on into auditions with that energy, once you drop that, I'm sure you had a different experience.
True.
People
Definitely.
responded to you differently because you were like, oh, I'm just here to do the work. I have a full life. We're just here to play. I actually don't need you because if you don't hire me, I'll work on my book or my art or earn money or go on a trip. Like, I need you. This is just something I love doing and I'm good at it. So if you want this, here I am. That energy, when you are already successful, so this is also in how you're talking to yourself. Oh, I have a really great website. And I want to do this with it, and I want to do this with it, and I want to deepen this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. You can have many things you want to do and still have a great website because it's serving you at a certain capacity right now. And then when you make enhancements, it will serve you in a different capacity and different, and you'll just keep doing that. But it's not serving you right now. It's definitely serving you because I get a good when someone goes, they're like, they can get an idea. Oh, you have different collections, so you even understand how the art world works. I get that immediately. I get the type of art you do. I get your personality because you're doing reels and stuff. It's like, yeah, it's what you're presenting to the world as an artist is working. Can we add some stuff in there? Sure. So, one idea, if you would like to start making reels again, you could do a whole series because you're such a good storyteller of like, how does an artist respond to life when life is like this?
Oof.
And maybe the answer is I don't want to paint. Or maybe the answer is I can't paint. Like I keep trying to, like, whatever your experience, we're just like, we just want to know, like, oh, what's it like to be you as the artist? Like, what is it? And so you can always use what's going on as grist. It's just about, being sensitive and appropriate, but that's a great conversation because I'm sure a lot of other people are like, yeah, and it's hitting differently. And I bet you could do, I bet if you sat down and wrote like 10 different ideas of how you could explore the answer to that question and get us, we'll learn about you and how you respond to things. And then we're learning about how we respond to you, which will in turn allow us to respond to your art, et cetera. And as far as a newsletter, what were you hoping to like put out with that? What were you delivering?
Well, no, I mean, I do the newsletters just because building the email list is
I know. So what were you like deliver, what are
I
you?
sent well I sent one out last week because I got into a show, so I just came from an art op talking about I mean I just came from my art opening. It was this afternoon in downtown LA, so let me not bury that either. Thank you. But it was really hard to even post about that, not because I'm very open about people coming to look at my art. It's not because of that. It was just because I'm just overwhelmed with everything else. And I sent out a newsletter last week just saying, "Hey, come to my opening." That was, and also pitching Art Night, which is the art walk, downtown LA art walk on th the first Thursdays of every month, which is a big art night where like over 35 galleries are open. So I gave people like a date night idea. And, oh, by the way, go check out my artwork. And so that's what I do with the newsletters.
And how do you feel about that? Are you feeling like that's enough or not? Not enough? Like, what's your
Not
feeling?
enough yet, no, because I'm still working my way. I'm gonna start using Klaviyo. I want to use that as a newsletter platform. Start working with that and learning how to do that. I last October, November, I got a pro. I paid, $2,000 for. There's this artist. She's in the UK. She's a marketing degree. She built in a passion to profit. Artist specific to build your website, to build your email list, to build social media, everything. Whole course, all that stuff, very valuable. They're gonna look over my website. That's where a lot of this is coming from, was paying for that and moving forward with it. It's just, and she was straight up, hey, this kind of stuff is organic. It's you just gotta learn as you as again, I'm not telling you anything new. You get this. This is like, this is you learn as you go along. It's gonna take a while. And it took me a year to build the website as an example. And so this is just the next phase of that.
So in terms of
Yes.
the funnel and building your list and awareness for your art, what would you like to have done with that by the end of this year?
By the end of 2025?
Yeah, low bar.
That's a low bar because I'm like,
No, low bar. I want you
maybe
to
next
clear the
month because
bar.
yeah, no, I that well that was the passive part about it. Minimal work once I figured out the best she calls it the sales funnel. It's I don't even particularly it's the hook, it's the whole thing of the combination of social media getting and then getting aggregating the emails and then having those go out regularly enough where my website, Sean Hemming Studio, feels like a business to the rest of the world. And then they just keep getting emails and then they get, like, oh, I always wanted to buy a print. Now is the time to buy a print. Now is time to, I made products. Oh yeah. I went and made
I saw.
products. Yeah. I was like, okay, we'll work with these. We'll try this out. The quality of them, some of them, it's all learning as we go. So, But that's the system. Once the system's down, it's minimal work to maintain it is
Yeah.
the passive part I was talking about.
Right. So this year is really about getting comfortable with your newsletter and putting it out consistently. By the way, no one needs weekly. Don't worry about, like, I just want you to know you don't have to publish weekly. There's so much in the world. You could publish 2 a month consistently and then throw one in whenever you have something to say extra. And to get the things from the course kind of integrated into
Almost
your,
there.
like, that would be a huge accomplishment for this year.
I have
On
act
top of all your other things, this is the
I
only thing you're doing.
I mean the why the annoying part I have to earn is because the book I'm working with an author coach. He's a former publisher, agent, whatever. He's got a whole thing about how to sell your book, and he has gotten over 400 authors book deals, and but he like loves my like he is championing me.
Good.
But this, when you don't have a platform, I don't know if anybody knows this. If you're a no-name artist with no platform, publishers could give two shits about you.
Yep.
So there's a lot of pre-marketing that we are doing before we query, have been doing that we're querying agents. And that
Yeah.
is a full-time damn job. I mean, he's doing a lot of the email outreach, but I'm doing a lot of email outreach and fielding them back. I've been on 8 or 9 different podcasts already. I have like 5 more lined up. That's not me bragging. That's just me saying like
No,
a lot of
yeah,
work into
that'll
this.
work.
So then when we query agents, hopefully next month, it's like, hey, here's a list of 250 blogs and podcasts that are ready to go. And then that equals about 20 million, people ready to reach in this my platform. But that's been a full-time job. And
Yeah.
I'm over here anxious about like earning money while on top of that, which just makes it less fun. That's me.
Yeah, you have three huge things in your artistic life that require marketing. And marketing is consuming. So it's going to be about like adjusting the dials, and it's going to be about deciding what gets top priority. And it doesn't have to be for the whole year, it could be per quarter. But and you can adjust those, but you have to stop. You have to adjust your expectation. Well, you don't have to, but if you don't want to drive yourself crazy, I recommend adjusting your expectation of when you have three big things and then some producing theater on the agenda, they move slower when there's more. And if you want one of them to move faster, the other ones have to be unattended to for periods of time.
Which is why I haven't painted this whole last 6 weeks. I set up a show for April. There I go again, setting up a new show. So I will have to paint, but I haven't, it's been writing focused, and there's been no acting auditions. So
Do you have to paint new works for a show?
technically no, but the place where I'm doing it was the pieces that I just showed. So there's a few I can do it. I can do it. I'm not panicked about it this time. I'm realizing though what would be most valuable. You've helped me with my mindset. I do have one question which I think you can really help me with.
Yeah.
When I have these, okay, so when you did go to my website, you saw I gave the choice, go to actor, writer, artist. And that was because I can't have a writing website. I can't have an art
Yes.
website. And I can't just, that's too much. And I originally had an art Instagram and I was going to do other, but that's just too much. It's all under Sean Hemian.
Agree.
My reel. So a lot of the time, so I'm not trying to go viral, but if I were to go viral, it helps that my reels are in a niche, the kind of expectation that people would want. I'm obviously a storyteller because that's what I'm doing with my art, and that's what I'm doing as an actor, and my obviously with writing. Is that the best way? Like, who the hell is my audience? I mean, obviously it's art people, but it's like So I've just been telling stories about my life and seeing who's interested, and then I do some art videos, but it's like I don't know how to focus the reels, is what I'm saying. Just focus it to the art, but also tell my stories of my life. Like, am I making sense? Because I feel like I'm rambling because I have not talked to anybody about this yet, and so I'm just sort of
Right.
vomiting on everybody here, and I'm so sorry.
No, totally understand the feeling. This is an entrepreneur's life right here. Yeah. And it is a conundrum when you're like, oh, I have this and I have this, I have this. So I actually think for you that everything you do is very your personality. And you have a personality too, by the way. Not every artist or writer has a compelling personality.
Thank you.
So you do, though. And I think that this is actually the umbrella of all of these things is just you.
Okay.
And I think that the people who are interested in your art are going to be people who are also interested in you. It's not like you're painting horses, so that people
Exactly.
are actually interested in the horses and the style you paint them, less so about you. They just are horse lovers. But you do abstract art. So it's partially people who respond to that art, but really it's also people who respond to the maker of the art, I think, with your type of art. So, and the same thing about your book, since it's memoir, it's not like you're writing a novel about characters over here. It's you. So you can actually do anything you want on your Instagram, and you can absolutely do the fine art and the writing and your acting and your wedding. Dad, do it all. Because the truth is, especially with me a memoir book, yes, your platform is important and eyeballs on you, but also they need to know that you have stuff. I mean, the topic of your book is wildly compelling, scandalous. But they want to know you have a lot to talk about just as a person, your backstory. So anybody in the literary world will like all of that on your Instagram. And anybody in the acting world, it just makes you a more interesting actor. And then as an artist, it kind of makes you more, who cares? It makes you a more interesting artist. Like, no one's going to be turned off. So
So
it is really, the brand is Sean.
feels so weird.
I know. But it's you, and it's your approach to life. It's how you channel your art and respond to the world. It's you. And what's nice is that a through line in the work that you do is your genuineness, because you're really owning your past mistakes and the life you've lived, and that's great, authentic and vulnerable, and you know. And it's interesting because you have photos that are like people would quickly judge, like, oh, he's probably like this and this and this. But once you start digging in, it's like, oh, no, he's multidimensional, multi-talented. Like, oh, there's more here than just the looks. It's good. You're the brand. Do everything and just keep sharing to the level you want to share. And invite people in to see the world through your eyes, because that's what we want to do. That's why we're attracted to artists. We see the world through their eyes. And that can make us see the world differently through our eyes.
Great.
And if you need cash flow, book some more events. What can I tell you?
There
It
will be
works.
more.
It works for you.
I know.
It works for you.
I'm not saying no, there just
I know.
isn't any. Yeah.
Just yeah.
Okay. I
And find pockets of time in the year where you can just like book as much as you can to give you a little more runway, and then you do the runway. But that's going to be your life. You're going to have money that you use, and then you make more, and then you use that, and then you make more. It's your entire life. Acting is the same way as here's your book advance. Is this like that runs out? It's like you have to get used to surfing that kind of income flow. And then when the income's going out, it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong because you're already a success. You're here to manage the money as well. It's okay that it goes out and then you make more. And as long as you're attending to both in a mature manner, you're living a successful artist's life.
I say that I've said that to other people, like you're not a failure for not having, but having it said to me, it's like, oh, I needed, it's been a while since that's said to me, even though I say it to others. So thank you. That's very helpful.
And you're not just not a failure. You really, your next shift is to own how successful you actually are. And you got to stop looking at other people. First of all, discount everybody who is more than 10 years older than you. They lived in a different time. Their career was in a different time. Publishing industry was different. Acting industry was different. You are living in a completely different time. And what was possible for them may not be possible for you. So comparing, that's apples to oranges. The fact that you are here at your age in this time and as successful as you are, I mean, you should be just, I mean, amazed and proud of yourself. And your 18-year-old self is probably shitting his pants of just like, oh my God, he's married and like, oh my God.
Did not see that coming. You're like taking me to church today. Thank you.
You're welcome. So go do some stuff, come back when you need to. And I'm glad you invested in that artist who can show you the ropes on that stuff. Yep. Good job. Good
Thank
job, man.
you. I will check in. I will check in. I'll be back.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Woo-hoo! Thank you.
Yay. Phoebe. And then Kira. Phoebe.
Hi, Christine.
Hello. Phoebe is our professional harp, well, one of our two professional harpists and harp instruction. Currently trying to phase out of the harp instruction, Cashflow Tiger. Okay, so you have two questions. The first one is you are raising your performance rate, phasing out of teaching the students, you're focused on marketing to the luxury market, high-end event planners, hotels, wedding venues, and you want kind of like a plan of attack. And you've done some marketing before, and you're like, okay, I'm ready to get the word out to whoever I need to get the word out to.
Yes.
Right. And then your second question, let's do that one first, which was what's the most appropriate and caring way and least painful way to tell my harp students that I will no longer be continuing with them past April? Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, Christine, I honestly think, and it was so helpful to have to fill out the form because I had a thousand questions in my head, but also didn't know how to say anything until I started filling out the form. I was thinking, okay, I think sending an email is going to be the easiest thing for me, and sending it to like to everybody, you know, like language that I send to all my students, but then say, I will be seeing you all soon in our lesson, or like call me, follow up, however you want. I love you guys, you know, but this is the easiest way for my brain to probably send out the message versus calling each person. Right? Okay.
And yeah, this was a really difficult decision, but I wanted to let you know with plenty of time that I, after our session, are you going to end at the beginning of April or go through April?
I don't know yet, Christine, and I guess the reason is just because like I saw you 2 weeks ago, and this is when we fleshed out, hey, do this, you know, I like according to what I said last time, which is the same. I'd rather spend time marketing and raise my prices significantly than teaching and gigging. So, but like, I guess, yeah, I'm still nervous about like, oh, that gigs, that income stream is going to be gone. But I also know, Christine, that if I, that the way I've adjusted my prices, like, if it doesn't work, I'll figure something out. But I really believe I can make it work. I just feel I can make it work. So I'm a little scared, which is why I'm getting used to the idea of not teaching. I haven't told them yet, haven't set a firm date as to when to
We need to
finish.
set a firm date now. So it's either gonna, would you, what do you want in your body? Do you want the end of March or the end of April?
Really, end of March.
Okay. March. Yeah. So you just tell them, so you know, it's a hard decision to make, but I've made it. We will work, we can work together through the end of March. I have people, my colleagues, I know so much. If you have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, and if I don't hear from you, I just will consider it business as usual to the end of March. Yeah. And you want to send that out this week because the thing that is kind and least painful is if you give as much notice as possible. Yeah. So then it's okay, the plan of attack. So what worked for you in the past?
Yeah, so in the past, I had hired someone who sent out a message to a lot of places at once. Like he, it was like an email that had all these email addresses in it that were the people we were targeting. And then it was like automated. He's like, I'm sending it out. And like it sent out to all these different people, but they didn't know that it seemed like it was just for right. And yeah, I mean, from that, like, you know what? I think I probably got one long, like, so it was, I got one long-term client that from that approach and maybe a couple gigs. So, you know, it was successful, but it wasn't, that's how we did it that time.
And then how have you gotten other really good clients that, you know, like, ooh, sweet client, sweet gig. How did you get those?
I would say, Christine, that I get some people finding just my website. Like they find me by my website. I mean, word of mouth is a big one. And then I'm like, I have one, website that I'm on, like a gig website that I can submit myself for things. And that's how I book most of my current work is through that.
So then, who needs to know you exist? You listed, event, where was it? Oh, event planners,
Event planners,
hotels.
hotels, which yes, and one thing I do know that's important is like the specifically the food and beverage people at the hotels, or not, or it's like the people that do the weddings
Yeah, that
are,
coordinate.
yeah, they're like part of food and beverage. I think that's what I figured out.
So it sounds like you know who needs to know you exist. And then what they need to know is, here's what I do. Here's the amount of experience I have. Here's what makes me special. Therapist. And we talked about this before, I believe, like your sensitivity to the environment, and you can create a mood and
Right.
you read like all those things. Like this is why I'm really good at what I do.
Yep.
And then you have a website, so they have video evidence of you. They can see how lovely you are. And then that's what they need to know.
Right.
And you open the email with, I just wanted to let you know. I mean, I've enjoyed working with top-notch establishments like yours. And I hope to continue to do so. So I wanted to let you know I exist in case you ever need blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Saying something nice about them, like
Yep.
I work with top quality people, top quality, events, top quality venues, and I love it and I want to continue to do that. So I wanted to let you exist. And so really, who needs to know you exist. You know the little short email, you have all the information they would need on a website. So really, this is about setting a metric for yourself. Every week, I'm going to do this many outreaches. And that's like top priority. Before you answer the emails from whoever, like it is just outreach, 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 outreach till every single person on your lists in town knows that you exist. And then once you book your next cool gig, you go back to all those people. Send them another email saying, hey, just worked at the Four Seasons, reminding you that I'm exist, looking forward to the summer season or whatever. So you're going to do this once, but this is a campaign. You're going to go around that horn again, again, 4 times a year until you start to feel a shift in the momentum and enough people are calling you. Then you can dial back the outreach to maybe twice a year. And so what number do you think is a number? And again, like I said to Sean, we want a bar you can you can cross over so you feel the fruition of victory. What's a metric that you can hit every week?
Let's see. Well, Christine, one thing that's just cool that I'm realizing is like now that I'm going to be compiling this list personally, and like I'll be researching. It's cool. I'll be finding out about all these different places and I'll be like excited to message them, So it already feels less daunting.
Good.
I mean, yeah, and to be successful with it every week, I mean, I feel like 15 would be something I could definitely do.
Okay, so let's do a dozen. Goal is 12. You can celebrate when you get 12, and if you have any extra time and energy, do more. Do as many as you can each week, but 12's the goal.
Great.
This is you getting work as a harpist for top-notch events and venues. It's just about people knowing you exist and then reminded you exist. That's it. You do is specific. Everybody knows exactly what you do. You don't even have to explain anything. It's really just outreach, outreach till every single person in town takes a chance on hiring you.
That makes sense because like I have most of my clients, many of them are repeat clients. Like most of them are people that have me come back every year for the same thing or more than one time a year, and those are then they know about me, but there's so many places that don't.
And have you, yeah. And have you reached out to all of those clients for 2025 and say, I'm booking my calendar for the year and wanted to know if you wanted to reserve any dates?
Yeah, no, I have not. I've like never done that. I thought about it just the other day because someone was asking about Mother's Day, and I'm like, oh yeah, I usually play at this place on Mother's Day, but I always just wait for them to get in touch. I've never.
What if you just decided to have the energy. Are a very successful harpist. Calendar is going to fill up, and you're going back to your previous clients to give them first right of, booking. But you say, "Hi guys, just letting you know, filling up my calendar for 2025 already. Are there? But I love working with you and want to know if there's any dates that you would like to reserve, and then." Do you have a reserve fee, by the way?
I mean, I typically charge a 50%. What's it called? It kind of depends on that. Like with a lot of my regular people, sometimes I just do it the way they do. You know, I'm like I'm pretty flexible with their system. So, but if it's like a one time, if when it's new clients, Christine, or even repeating clients, I charge a 50% deposit. Some of them I don't because of the way they work, but I could. I can do whatever I can. I do most of the time do a deposit.
'Cause that's how they get that date.
Right.
They pay you.
Reserve
And then
the date.
is it a refundable deposit? Does a portion get refunded or not?
I mean, I kind of say like it's non-refundable. Circumstances could make me be able to refund it, but I've never had to return somebody's thing.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I say it's non-refundable, but like, should something, you know, I've never had to, never had to deal
You're
with
not going to be a monster about it
that.
if, And it all always also depends on just, and if it, if you get into trouble and one or two things, there's like, oh, this is not working, then you can write a more solid contract where it's like you have to do a 50% deposit. You need to change the date less than like a week before or however you need, then I can refund, but I'll keep $100 of that. Or if you need to cancel altogether, there is a cancellation fee that I'll deposit. Like, you do all sorts of things. But if it's working so far like this, let's just see if it just keeps working because that's nice and clean and But de I definitely, even with past clients, I need a deposit to hold my because you're holding the date.
No,
You're not going
that's
to go
perfect.
on to Hawaii. You're going to be there.
It just did happen with Valentine's Day, which is such a big day, and they didn't, I didn't, it was a repeat client. I didn't get a deposit, and then they canceled. So now I don't have a gig that day, except I think I'm gonna do something else that's more important, but still, yeah. I should do it. It should just be cooked. I do that with everybody.
And look, it's February 2nd. If you did this week and next week, your 12, so that'll be 24 outreach to places that are Valentine's Day possibilities, you might book Valentine's Day. You have to. I'm just saying you, because other people might cancel or.
Yes, Christine.
You got this, Phoebe.
So, Christine, I guess like obviously I'm restructuring my pricing. So I guess I think about my people, right? The people that I'll reach out to that I already know, that I already work with, and I need to let them know that my pricing has gone up. But also I remember this from way back, like the golden oldies, or what did you call them? Yeah, golden oldies. Like you get this, you know, you, so I can give them maybe a better rate, but like don't, but tell them. Is that what would you say?
This is how I would do it. I think I would reach out to all of my clients and say, I'm booking my schedule for 2025. I wanted to give you first choice if there are any dates that you would like. I have raised my prices, but if you want to reserve dates for any time in 2025, if you reserve them in the next 2 weeks, pay the deposit. I'll give them to you at the old rate.
Oh, okay, cool.
So,
Okay.
Yeah. And then the window closes. But if one crawls back and is like, oh, can you please do it? Then you can just decide. I mean,
Right.
for business, you can do whatever you want. But it's good to kind of present yourself as like, there's a
Right.
window. Yeah.
Totally. Totally, Christine. There's a
Yeah.
window. Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I still like, so yeah, I have my old website up. So, I mean, it's the website that's up right now is my old one. And then I'm not ready to put my new one online yet, but pretty close, because I've been like, kind of like Sean was saying, like it was overwhelming, and it kind of still is, but now it's getting better all the time as you chip away.
Yeah.
And the pricing, I followed the pricing of my cool colleague from back east who
Yeah.
played at my wedding.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just copying, I'm like changing it, tweaking it, but like the prices I'm keeping. I'm just gonna, as the experiment, to see. And I wrote it all down and then wrote mine. And it's like where I was charging 450, she charged, for the most part, she's charging 750. So it's like, and then for where I would be charging like 675, she's charging 1,000. So it's a significant increase. Like some of these things, like the way she packages things that I'm gonna try, I'll be making twice as much, like $1,800 versus $900. So, I mean, I'm pretty confident that I can book these gigs and make up the income stream from teaching. And that
Okay.
doing this all the time, it should work.
Yeah. And you know what happens if it doesn't? You get more teaching clients. It's
Right.
like you're giving up teaching forever and you can never go back. You just
Right.
find new people.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But it's like, or I do something else. I don't know.
So many options.
Okay.
But you want to go for it. You
Go
want
for it. Yeah.
to go for it. Like give it your all.
Yes,
Then
Christine.
you definitively know this is working or this is not working.
Right. And then maybe next time I'll send you my website beforehand and have you look at that and just my pricing or whatever. But I think I'm okay. I go
Yeah.
for it.
Go for it. All right. Thank you, Phoebe. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Kira. Kira,
Hello.
our wonderful, blessed cash flow kitten, who has a side biz doing oracle readings and who also has a job, of they're like, we might give you a promotion to raise, but we're not going to talk about it because we really don't. But and yet you still exist. So here we are. So yeah, you wrote, I'm still waiting to hear about the raise and promotion for my full-time job. What do I do? And so let me read what you wrote and then we'll talk about it. They keep saying they'll meet with me, and then more time passes. This week, I'm going to try to pin down a time for it, but if they continue to blow me off, I want to have a strategy. I'm thinking of sending an email that says something like, I really look forward to having a conversation with you about my role in the company. I want to let you know that I'm exploring other employment options, and I'd like to have the information that you're going to relay to me by next week so that I can make an informed decision. It would be my preference to stay and grow with the company, blah, blah, blah. She wrote blah, 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 by the way. Okay. So, how do we approach this? What's the next? You want to feel like you're in a power place and prepared. You don't really want to stay at the job much longer, but you're having a hard time searching for other jobs while you're doing all of this work. Understandable. Okay. So it all, as always, with these things comes down to leverage. And going in and saying, I want you to let you know that I'm exploring other employment options. The risk with that is they go, great, go do those. And what you're in the position, it sounds to me like we want to buy you some time. We want to buy some time to see if they come through. But we also want to nudge them to come through. So my first question to you is, what kind of vacation do you have stacked up? What kind of sick days do you have stacked up in reserve? Any?
Well, this year just started, so I have five sick days, and then it has unlimited PTO,
Oh, talk to me about
which is, it's not unlimited. It's like
that.
they say, like my boss says, like 3 weeks in the year, but not all at once.
And by not all at once, does that mean you could take a week and a half? Does that mean you could take every Friday? Like, what does it mean, not all at once? I
I'm
know not
not
all 3 weeks, but what do
sure.
they really mean? Just tell
Yeah,
me a story.
I can get more
What does
clarity.
it say? Do you have an employee manual, handbook?
Yes, but it doesn't. What did it say? It says it must be approved by the supervisor, basically, but it's pretty vague.
Okay. And you get paid for your sick days?
Yes.
Okay. So what if you, so here's what's happening. You need time to start looking for another job. So why don't you take a day off every week and spend it looking for another job? Or take a chunk of 3 days, or take a week, because where the communication that I think is the least risky, but something that's sort of putting your flag in the sand, is kind of communicating. You don't necessarily, unless they call you out on this, you don't have to say this directly, but what you're kind of saying through your actions of like taking time off or whatever is, oh, should I put a pause on doing any more work until I have a clear idea of how we will be moving forward? Because I'm still waiting to hear about the raise and promotion offer. So I'll just stop working, right? Until you guys figure that out. Because I don't know, should I be working? I don't know. That's the vibe. So, what if you just pulled way back and see if anybody notices, first of all? And then, if they do notice, then you can go, oh, well, I'm still waiting to hear how we're moving forward on this. So, you know, can we do that? I'd love to invest more. You can say, I'd love to invest more in this company, but I can't really do that until. So I'm just waiting for you guys. What do you think would be the problem of just pulling back and giving yourself some time to start looking for another gig?
I don't know that there will be that much of a problem, honestly. Yeah. I think I'm just having a hard time like having clarity about what the other gig that I would look for would be, because it, none of this is what I want to be doing anyway. And so I think, yeah.
Maybe you need some time to think about that and to research and to explore and to look around and to talk to people. Have coffee with some people and be like, what should I be doing? What else are the possibilities? What am I not seeing?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know what the landscape is right now because you've been working at this job. So I think a little PTO might be in order until they communicate with you.
Yeah.
And if they're like, why are you, why, we've noticed you've been like taking a lot of time off. And you're like, I'm just waiting to hear back about the raise and the promotion. That's all you have to say. Yeah, I'm just waiting to hear back about that. They'll get the idea. You don't even have to say why you're taking the pay. You just, yeah, I'm just waiting to hear back. And then like balls in their court. You just want to make clear that the employee handbook or somebody is going to say, yes, you can take paid time off. And that's what relatives are for. Oh, my aunt is sick. I don't know. We're having some family difficulty. And I'm waiting to hear back about the rain. Like, this is really, they have clearly shown that they don't really value you. So now it's your turn to value yourself. Very often, what we desire the world to give us, right now, you're desiring this job to like value you and pay you more. We value it from external sources because we're not actually giving it to ourselves yet. So if you start going, well, I'm valuing me and I don't need to invest over here because you're not investing in me yet. So I'm just going to take this opportunity while I have this job to get some fucking paid time. That's a way to give yourself a raise, by the way. Take some paid time off. You're communicating to them either you're going to give me a raise and a promotion, or I'm going to give myself a raise and take some paid time off. And you don't have to say anything, just family things that need to be worked out. Be super vague. They're vague with you. Be vague with them. Yeah. And then just, I would do, I don't know, 2 days a week or 1 day a week, and then alternating 1 day a week, 2 days a week, 1 day a week, 2 days a week. You need to give yourself some time. And it's best if when you take a day off, stick it next to a weekend, like a Monday or a Friday. So then you have a long weekend. And then use that time to start spending time with yourself and having conversations with other people and reading some books and looking online about like, what do I want to do for income at this moment in my life? How does that strategy sit?
Yeah, that sounds fine. Yeah, I do have some ideas of other things I would want to do for income, and I think I can, yeah, just sort of do a little bit more exploring and asking for connecting with people.
And researching what other jobs are out there that can utilize the skill set you have, because I understand that you're like, what I'm doing right now is like not really what I want to be doing, but there might be another place that you can do some of these skill sets that actually is fun and nice to work at and isn't this place. Do you know what I mean? Like, you might be feeling this way towards what the type of work you're doing because you're doing it in this place versus applying it in another situation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I'm not only saying explore what you could create entrepreneurially for yourself, but also explore what other jobs are out there because you don't even know. And maybe you don't get a full-time job, you get a part-time job, and then you do something else for additional income. You know, who knows? But there's options. But right now, you don't even know what they are. So it's easy to just stay and stay and stay where in the place you're at. And
It is,
is there anything that concerns you about the strategy of taking 2 days off a week for a couple weeks?
Not really. I mean, I think I just have to be strategic because I do have, I mean, I think I just need to take time off, period. Like I can ask for some day, like maybe 2 days this month, and then my birthday is next month. Maybe I can take a week there. And then, but I do have like some days where I need to do things like medical caregiving for family member stuff, and
What if you
so
took a week off this month and a week off next month?
I can try. I don't know if
While
that will
you're
be
getting,
possible.
well, ask for it.
Yeah.
Like, this is to exercise the muscle that we've been talking about, of you learning to ask for more than is reasonable,
Yeah.
more than you think is possible, because you might get it. And you won't if you don't ask for it. And it's fine. If they're like, well, we can't give you a week, then you know what you say to them? How much can you give me? Can I have 2 days? If you can't give me a week, can I have 2 days, 1 week, 3 days the next week? I want 5 days. Do we need to disperse those out during the month? Can I take them as a full week? Do I break it? It's like you're like, I'll break it up, however, but I need 5 days. You tell me. Like leadership energy and sort of. It's not about combative, but it's like, well, we can't give you a week. Well, that's not an answer though. That's the same thing, like they're just non-replying about the raise. It's like, no, not an answer. But if you're willing to take it, which they hope you are willing to take their non-answers, don't take it anymore. The worst they can do is fire you. But I don't think they're even thinking about doing it. You're valuable to the company at the moment. That's your leverage. It's not, you don't have enough leverage yet to threaten them, but you have enough leverage to take back some time. So take it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, women especially, we have to get better at taking it. We can't wait around for people to give it to us. We have to take it. So, my challenge to you is the experiment of request a week off this month and a week off next month, a full week each, and see what they say. They might say yes to both. Great. If they don't, then go back and go, well, I need 5 days. How would you like me to take them this month? Boop, doop, 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 doop. And check the employee handbook, see if there's anything about like you're not re if they if it says in the handbook you're not required to give an excuse, you know, to reason why, because I don't know how much businesses can poke around in people's personal lives, but if it, you know, so you want to know what you don't have to say. And I would always start by saying nothing. They ask, you say the family thing. Oh, well, you know, I have some family stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this will be muscle building. So you're going to do the paid time off so you can figure out and look for another job, because that's leverage. If you walk in with another job offer, then. But you don't have to wait for that. And then also keep pushing every single week, Kira. So when can we meet this week? And you say it like that. Not can't
Yeah.
meet this week. It's when can we meet this week? And they're like, oh, not this week. Okay, when can we meet next week? You just ask, ask, ask until they're just going to meet with you because they're so annoyed.
Yeah.
But it's not like they have this juicy offer for you, and you being a little annoying is going to make them go, oh, she's too annoying. We're not going to give it to her. No, it's not. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Please come back and let me know how this goes. I'm very curious. This is
I
like
will.
the greatest little soap opera that's going on.
I
I'm
really
so impressed with you. I'm so impressed with you.
Thank you for all your help.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Cool. Good to see you again. Doreen, hello. What's up?
Yay. Thank you. We started working at the beginning of November, and you had encouraged me to do a couple of things. And I'm going to talk about the one thing, and that is my 12-week goal setting program. And a couple of things you had me do was reach out to people who have connections to, we'll say, audiences that I don't have yet. You had recommended that I get out of the habit of marketing to the same group over and over again. So all of those people that I reached out to, they were all like, well, now's not a good time. And it was like the holidays. Can you wait till next? Yeah, I can wait. And then the fires happen. So I've had no connections to these people. I raised my prices, and the people who have normally repeated my program are not repeating. And Miata this past week had sent out the new price change for her program and said that we were all grandfathered in. So I was thinking that that wasn't what you were coaching me to do. Like, don't give any discounts. But I don't really have much of a class that starts on Tuesday. I mean, what if I did offer the grandfather? I
How
mean, I
many?
just want your opinion on it. I'm like,
How many people do you think would take it? Do you think would take it if you offered the grandfather prize?
at least two.
Okay, so then you're doing 12 weeks with two people.
No. I've already got two signed up.
Okay, so
So that would
four.
be four. Yeah.
And is doing that 12-week class with those four people, how much time does that give you to do other things for your business, like list building activities and things like that?
It's definitely plenty of time. It's just once a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you feel like I've got two people on board, it would be great to see if I can add two more. Sure, you can do whatever you want. So let's just say that's fine. You grandfather people in, and now you have four, and you're gonna go with that. Like, that's okay. Like, I'm totally, that's fine. It's totally fine. I would recommend that you really take a hard look at your business, because what has just occurred in LA is really going to rock the LA economy. And it's going to have a lasting, rippling effect. With which, just how people prioritize what they're going to spend on. And it's not just now. I would encourage you to telescope out and consider the 4 years, even though it's really hard to predict. But some things we can predict is that the industry is contracting and industry people have been affected by this economic thing. And my guess is some actors will leave Los Angeles because it's just going
Yeah,
to be.
well, this program isn't exclusive to actors.
Okay.
But that's the tribe I've known, so that's where I've been marketing.
Okay. So what's another possible tribe to bring into this program that may have
Well,
more stable income?
I was talking to a friend today, and we knew each other from before in Chicago, and she said, well, what if you did it on Zoom and you had people from, I said, I do it on Zoom. She's like, oh, then why don't you just like do people with have people from Chicago? And I'm like, oh my God, because a lot of the people that I came up with as an actor are teaching, running their own companies, that whole thing. It's like I should just reach out to these people warmly and just share something with them. So that's a possibility. It's still my tribe, but they're not as affected. Chicago is not, because it's a theater town, as affected like we are out here.
And so,
I'm thinking I mean, it is everybody. I have, a soft spot for professional creatives. Like Sean is like a writer and an artist and, people who are musicians and filmmakers and all that kind of stuff. But I also know that the program itself, it's not exclusive. And I like when you said rethink it. I guess it's really more of a matter of remarketing it.
Oh, definitely. Like, if you're going to go for a different audience, you have to talk to that audience and what their goals are and their thought processes are and their obstacles and their concerns. I mean, so it's different marketing, but same, similar material. So you're not reinventing a whole new thing.
No. I guess what I was liking, as you know, because my tribe is the acting tribe, is that I'm a niche in that. What I do as far as the goal setting thing is, it's done in, in different forms elsewhere, a lot, but I'm the one who knows the actor's journey. It was a niche for me because I was able to thrive during the pandemic, so I was able to share all of that with them as well.
Are there actors in Chicago? Have you reached into the actors market there that might
No,
want
that's what I'm saying. I haven't even thought about it. Didn't even
to?
occur to me.
You really have to think nationally to make this work. You really have to, and it's about, maybe you do too. Maybe one's exclusively for artists and one's for a different type of create or professional creative or whatever.
I really, really enjoy it. That's why I'm like, I don't want to give it up. It's
Yeah, I just want you to be able to eat.
oh.
I love that you love doing it, but we are in a time of life where it's like, I want to make sure that you can keep yourself vital during this time.
Well, that's sort of the good news, bad news is like, I originally came to you saying, I finally want, my business has never made or broken me, but I want it to support my basic needs. So the fact that it hasn't, I'm not going to starve. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you have your basic,
Also,
you
huh?
have your another source of income for that. You have another source of income for that?
Yeah, it's my acting income.
Okay. And is that steady enough to like take care of that? Yeah, I want you to be able to eat for the rest of 2025 is what I'm saying. So I'm encouraging you to telescope out and consider, who do I know in this whole country? Since you're doing this course over Zoom, you can have people from everywhere. And so it's like, who can connect me with little pockets of actors so that I can go out there and scoop some of them up?
You had also said something about oh, I lost my train of thought, but you were talking what we were talking about. I'm so sorry about that.
It'll come back.
Yeah, it'll come back. One thing, sidetrack. You said to Sean that he needs to discount any actor who's 10 years older than him. Hey, I'm at least 10 years older than
No,
Sean.
I meant comparing his career to the careers, p artists who are like 10 years and older than him, who have careers, working actors, because going, well, I want that. Like, I should, they had this at my age, so I should have, it's like, it was a whole different time. When they built their careers is a very different time than when he's building his career. And we
Well,
need to
he's not just
acknowledge
starting
that.
out.
No, I know, but he still wants to expand. So he's still like his journey to series regular will likely not necessarily, there's a likelihood that it's not going to follow the same path as other people
It
who
never has, right? It's nothing new. I mean, the old way of doing things were never the way. of doing things.
I'm just saying we live in a very different economic time. The golden era of television, the big expansion of a lot of shows, it's contracting. And the industry has just suffered a blow. Plus, other states are trying to get the work that Hollywood would like to do, the people who live here would like to do in Hollywood, but other states are trying to get, like, we live in a different economic climate. So his next 10 years of growing his career cannot be compared to how other people made it
Well,
because
yeah, I mean that's a
from
given
him.
in life, in any career.
Okay.
But
That was
I don't want you to misunderstand me. That this is how I make my living, right?
I
It's not
know.
predictable, That's what I'm saying. It's like I don't
Anyway,
want, you
I was just trying to clear up your misconception about what I was referring to regarding age. I just meant in comparison to the growth of their careers. There's fewer series regular roles for a while. There's going to be fewer. And there was more for those actors 10 years ago than there are going to be now, is what I'm saying. So I was speaking to his idea of success can't be looked at. We can't point to people who have established careers and go, well, I don't have that. It's like, because it's not available right now. It's not available.
And he's already had some series regular,
Well, he
so
wants
getting
more.
series regular is not a guarantee and all that whole thing,
Yeah, this is kind of a moot point, but okay. So sure, grandfather some people in and see if you can get more people.
Okay. I just like it's like damn, I'm working my ass off more than I ever have because of all your encouragement and ideas, and it's just like it's not getting better, it's getting worse.
And it's that is that's exactly. That's exactly okay. That's the point I'm trying to make. And it's not just for you or for Sean, it's really for everybody. We are living in a different era. We have entered a different era. The work that other people have put forth to build their careers, like I put forth this much effort and built my career, that doesn't necessarily apply now.
Well, I meant for my side business.
Okay.
You know,
But
I'm
I'm
doing
speaking to everybody.
more.
Yeah, I'm speaking just sort of globally to everyone, is that we have to be realistic about what we're faced with now, what's happening now. We've never had this in our lifetime before. And it's really about dealing very realistically with what's happening and how we need to respond to that and move the dials on our expectations. Our relationship with being employed, in addition to what we really want to do, and then the experiences that we want to have in life, experiences that might not actually yield income anymore. Once upon a time, they might have, but maybe they just don't anymore. But having the experience is still valuable, but it might not contribute to income anymore. So we want to get really realistic and start to move those dials so we can still have a very satisfying and successful life, but it might not look the way it looked to other people. Just like retirement, this story, the American story of you do this and then you do this and then you get to retire and then you get, it's like, I'm not sure that's a story that's available to the vast majority of
I
American
think
people.
even like with companies, Enron was a huge wake-up call for me. It's like there's nothing stable out there.
Yeah, I still want you to eat though, which I'm glad you raised your prices. Now you just have to go find the people able to pay them.
I think you know what it is. I thought it was enough time. And it's going to take longer.
Yes. Yeah. Marketing runway when you're trying to get new people and not just selling to your list, there's list building time, and then they're selling to that list. And then you build the list and then you sell to the list, but you have to keep building the list with fresh people to sell to. And the runway of November and launching a, because you were going to launch like the 12 weeks in January, is like that just that runway was so short. And that's in a perfect condition. But you had the holidays and then you had a very unexpected January. And this is life moving forward. It's going to be very unexpected in big ways. Planning is going to be difficult. Pivoting is going to be required, but we can do it. But we just have to know what we're the reality of the situation.
I mean, it's Darwinism, adapt or die.
Okay, guys, thank you so much. Thank you, Doreen, and everybody. I will see you in 2 weeks to continue.
Thank you,
Enjoy.
Christine.
Ah, you're welcome. You're
Thanks,
welcome. Christine.
Christine. Thanks, everybody.
Awesome. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Kate.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.